tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. There is a way the United States can end the war in Vietnam right now. And yet there is no end to the war in Vietnam in sight. And every time you hear of leaders getting together to talk over the conference table to put an end to the war, you are warned in advance not to expect any good news to come of it. Don't expect anything to really be accomplished. Only expect that perhaps after the lull or the temporary ceasefire that the bombing is going to begin again. And surely the war is going to drag on and on. Well, in the current number of a unique magazine, unlike anything you have ever read before, is an article, How the United States Can End the Vietnam War Now. There is a way, a definite way, a way that is very, very simple, by which the war could be brought to a successful conclusion immediately. It's a tried and a proven way. What a pity it is that people in general, governments in general, would not accept that way. Now, also, this article explains how it is that this way will not be accepted, will not be utilized to bring an end to the Vietnamese war. Rather a shocking paradox. Write for the article and find out what it says. You'll find why war, what causes wars, what brings them on. Why is it human beings go to war? Why is it seems the only way to settle differences between governments and countries today? Our very survival is at stake, whether or not nuclear bomb war becomes extant on this earth, and if it did, it would put an end to all of mankind. We're concerned with these things daily. We live in a world that seems to be going nowhere, a world we know is a world of man's making, a world that is physical, material, and temporal. And the greatest mysteries of all on this physical earth is, how did we come to be here? Where are we going? What is human life all about? And of course, the big mysteries of all, what is death? What about any life hereafter? There are every type of religious idea that you could begin to hang a label on that tries to tell you what about the life hereafter. What is the purpose in human life today? Now, here we are in a world where world leaders tell us continually we need a world government. We need a world law enforcing authority. We need some overall worldwide method by which wars can be stopped. We need some method by which we can prevent accidents, stop sickness and disease, quell riots and disturbances, save babies, stop all of the pollution, prevent murders, robberies, and rape. Some way to prevent warfare. Some way to ensure humankind can survive. And yet we don't know what that way is. The greatest paradox of all is perhaps that we must have a rule of law. We must have one world government. It is the only alternative to our destruction. Yet, says one eminent authority, it is absolutely impossible to have world government. It isn't going to work. For instance, in the Wall Street Journal, an editorial said, suppose it were possible to establish a world government. How could such a setup be expected to remove the animosities and the ambitions that lie so deep in men and nations? It follows, said that editorial, that for a world government to be effective, it would have to possess powers of compulsion undreamed of in history's worst nightmares. Even in today's free nations, the constant threat is the aggrandizement of state power, and international authority would be infinitely worse, said that editorial. In this sense, nationalism, as the West conceives it, is a force for good. It's a little saddening, said the article, not to say frightening, that intelligent people can seriously support such weird causes. The Wall Street Journal said world government is a weird cause. And you know, looking at it, humanly, looking at it from the point of view of seeing human beings in control of such a world government, you have to agree. It would be a weird cause. Yet I'm talking about a world government on this program. A world government that has been planned from the very beginning. A world government that is going to be a colossal supranational world ruling authority. Yet I too absolutely firmly subscribe to the idea that such a world government in the hands of man would be weird, it would be ridiculous, it would be contrary to everything I believe in. I would hate to see it come about.
It'd be the worst thing that could ever happen to this earth.
Now, I'll tell you how to make heads or tails out of that in a moment. But can you imagine it? I have to agree with what the Wall Street Journal said. Saddening, frightening, you bet it is. That anybody intelligently could support the cause of world government in the hands of man. For, as it concluded, the panacea they proposed would not end war. But it most surely could and would end freedom. Well, as another editorial in the same paper said about this peace through law, world government. Now, I could quote for the next couple of hours statements from anybody from Earl Warren to Britain's Sir Percy Spender. I have them right here. Dr. Edward Teller, Dr. Charles Osgood, Dr. Harold C. Urey, Winston Churchill, former President Eisenhower, former President Kennedy, President Johnson, on and on go the quotations about we must have world government, that this is the only solution to the ills of mankind. Every last one of them seem to stand for a world government, like the World Peace Through Law Movement and the World Law Conference, before which Chief Justice Earl Warren said that we must find some laws that can be created to prevent the use of the awesome power of the atom to destroy man's civilization. How in his opening speech he said, what are the prospects for world peace? Are they brighter? He called on lawyers and judges everywhere to join in building a rule of law for the world community, that the only way we're going to have peace is in a world government, a world rule of law. Yet here's this editorial that says, well, that's frightening. And it is, when you stop to think about it. Now, said another editorial, just to show you what kind of a government this would be, a truly effective rule of international law would require, it seems to us, said the Wall Street Journal, some form of world government. That government, in turn, would almost have to be a tyrannical one. Plainly, it would be tyrannical under communism, but no matter who were the magistrates of the world state, they would have to trample, listen to this, they would have to trample on so many national and individual aspirations and attitudes, would have to deploy such an army of enforcers, that the most probable upshot would be a police state on a colossal scale. Instead of pursuing the will-o'-the-wisp perfect peace everywhere, it would seem more profitable, said this editorial, to keep on trying to improve international relations through means that are both appropriate and safe. For all the dangers of our day, a free man should nonetheless prefer it to dreams which, whether the reformers realize it or not, could turn into nightmares of despotism. Now, you have to understand both. Here you have almost every noted world leader of the last several decades calling for the creation of a world government. The League of Nations was an attempt in that direction. The United Nations is an attempt in that direction. World government is seen, in the words of Sir Percy Spender, as in this and this alone, talking of world government, lies the salvation of mankind. It is seen by these thinkers, by these philosophers, by these learned scientists, even at the head of some of the space agencies, the very father of the H-bomb, Dr. Teller, as the only solution of man's ills. Yet, when you look at it, you've got to admit the Wall Street Journal has a point. That in the hands of man, it would be a colossal police state. Something you would literally hate to see come to pass. Something I would shudder and tremble to see come to pass. In the hands of man. And therein lies the whole thing. That's the whole point. Government, especially world government in the hands of man, is not going to work. It will never work. It's been tried, first by the Babylonian Empire, then by the Persian Empire, then by the Greco-Macedonian Empire, then by several successive stages of the Roman Empire, and that same empire will again try it. It's been tried all down through the years. The Holy Roman Empire tried it in World War II. You didn't know that. Well, it was in all the newspapers. I wonder why. It was called that. The Axis powers had recreated a Holy Roman Empire. That's what Mussolini claimed to have put together. They tried, again, a stab at world government. The idea was that once Europe fell and became a United States of Europe, Britain would have to go along, and later so would the United States. It wasn't envisioned by Hitler immediately that he would get into a war with our country. That was one of the accidents. That was one of the matters of caprice. It occurred. It was a sad thing. Hitler made a lot of blunders.
for which he paid dearly, at least the German people paid dearly. Whether he paid is still a question.
You wonder whether or not he's still alive. Some people think he is.
So it was tried then. It failed. We can be thankful it did. Plenty of people gave their lives. Maybe more than 20 million people were butchered or burnt or put to death, starved or beaten to death in the slave camps in Europe. To try to put down that attempt of a despot to set up a colossal police state, a world-ruling government, a German-style millennium on this earth, you'd better pray that men will never accomplish a world government, because in the hands of man it would be a nightmare. You bet it would. Yet I firmly believe in and support the establishment of a world-ruling government. But the difference is, I don't believe man ought to have one thing to do with it. I don't believe he ought to be allowed to even voice his opinion about it. I don't think his nutty notion should even be given a moment's credence or attention. I don't believe he ought to have his hands in it. I don't think his ideas or his vote ought to have anything to do with it. Now, if you think that sounds a little wild, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. There exists a document of many, many pages that has been thoroughly gone over and has been looked into and checked and it's been made absolutely accurate. It's the most accurate and thoroughly documented collection of information the world has ever seen. That shows you how a great world government is going to be established. And how mankind is finally going to know peace and abundance. And how various national animosities and jealousies and hatreds, the various racial squabbles, the political and the religious differences, all of these innate rebellions of human nature, one man against his neighbor, those neighbors collectively against an international neighbor and the like, will finally be subdued and put down by a world-ruling government. It will be a colossal police state, all right. But not in the hands of men. And that document that shows you exactly how this government will be set up on this earth is your Bible. What if I told you Jesus Christ is alive? What if I told you he is living at this precise moment? That he is right now planning to intervene in the course of this world's affairs? That right at this moment there is a great movement underfoot, a countdown that has begun. That within not too many more years, that same Jesus Christ who is presently alive, who lives today, is going to intervene and set up a government on this earth. What would you think of that? I'll tell you what a large percentage of you think. You think that sounds real nutty. Well, that proves exactly the accuracy of biblical prophecy. Because Bible prophecy is the outline of the working out of a great purpose and a plan on this earth. And one-third of the Bible is prophecy. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth was a prophet. And he looked down beyond his day into ours and he gave you the big picture. He admitted all the conditions that would come to pass on this earth. He told you about this time in which we're living today. This time where very human survival is at stake. This time when whether or not humankind will still be alive is a question. That is, still alive in the next decade or two. He talked about this day, of the pollution of everything the hand of man touches, of this impossible nightmare of ours today where we can't extricate ourselves from jungle guerrilla warfares, where it's a real ticky-tacky, picky thing as to whether or not the President of the United States can even find a foreign country to visit without getting rocks against his limousine. It's real tough today for members of the State Department to select a nation anywhere, including Western Europe, where the President of the United States would not be booed, laughed at, ridiculed, jeered, maybe rocked and stoned right out of the country. It's been said recently, perhaps the only place that would even be safe for a visit without a lot of street corner demonstrations would be West Germany. Isn't that strange? The very nation American bombers blasted to bits and rubble only a couple of decades ago. It's an amazing world in which we live. A little more than two decades, of course, but it's an amazing world, isn't it? What a switch, what a turnaround. Well, Jesus Christ of Nazareth foretold it. He foretold the whole thing, and he foretold the overall picture. He said we would be living in a time of revolution, not only wars and rumors of wars, as he said in Matthew 24, but violent upset even in the weather, and we're seeing it, we're living with it. Increasing earthquakes,
unbelievable winter storms. People writing in our mail, we get a picture of what people are living, the kind of a life they're living, wherever they're living, all around the world. From the horrible, devastating fires in Tasmania, where the world tomorrow is also heard, to the horrible, choking snowstorms of the northeastern and even down into the plain states, parts of the United States, to the air pollution of the big cities and the increasing consumptive diseases and the problems of people. And most of our mail reflects the unhappiness and the misery of people, their personal financial problems, and especially their health problems, their mental problems. Every one of these things was foreseen by Jesus Christ of Nazareth and foretold in the Bible. Out of it all, beyond it all, he talked about the establishment of a world-ruling government now taken out of the hands of man. Not in the hands of man at all. Now, for the moment, you're still living in the time when you could ask purely academic questions. You're living in a time where you are allowed to ponder, to muse, to look about you and the world, and to think about it. Time to select your course. Time to decide which way you will go, what you will believe, who do you want to do your thinking for you. You can either take the route that many people have taken of sinking down into a bottomless pit of human mire and filth and degradation, of seeking temporal pleasures, of trying to entertain yourself, taking the easy way out to everything, daydreaming and letting your mind wander through every labyrinth of idiocy that is available to you. Or you can sit back with a lot of people and get sarcastic, acidic, and a little asinine. And you can carp and ridicule and criticize, and you can rebuke people in high places and gripe about government and complain about this and that farce and the other charlatan and this and that bit of chicanery in government. You can talk about all the murder and the crime and the intrigue and the mounting divorce, and you can get disgusted with the world. You can probably tune into a few radio talk shows and television talk shows and listen to people make fun of people and others hoot and jeer. You can sink into the mire of self-pity. You can decide to reject the truth of God. You have that power. You have the key to the door of your mind. You can decide today which way you will go. You've got time to change. You've got time to repent of your own attitudes, of your resentment toward God and His law. You've got time to crack the pages of your Bible and look into it and find with an amazing gasp of surprise that what the Bible says is the total opposite, totally different from and backward to what you always thought it said. You've still got time to do that. You've got time to change your very way of living. You husbands have got time to quit cheating on your wives. Time to become faithful. Time to repent. Time to change. You wives have got time to do the same thing. Much of our mail says husbands and wives are at each other's throats today. They're fighting, bickering, nagging, slapping one another. He's persecuting her. She's yelling and screaming at him. They hate the sight of each other, and they can't even stand the sound of each other's voice. Months, years before, they were saying, I love you, will you marry me? What happened? You've still got time to change. Time to repent. Time to look at your life, take a good long look in the mirror and say, you dirty clod. What an empty wretch you are. What a bag of gas you are. How much you need to clean yourself up and to turn around and live differently. You've still got time to do that. There is time to change your way of life, to begin living differently. But, my friends, time is soon going to be taken away from you. The time is soon coming when all those opportunities are going to be over. Whether you think you're putting off a decision or not, you're a little wrong. Your decision is being made daily by the way you live. And the time is going to come when conditions around you will prove to you that your time for making decisions has now been taken from you. What if you were a Jew and you were living in the ghetto in Warsaw, and it was 1938, maybe that nice pleasant summer of 1938, in the ghetto in Warsaw, and what if somebody told you, warned you about what was happening in Germany? You knew about the troop movements near the border. You'd heard maybe some of the inflammatory speeches on the radio of Hitler's harsh, throaty voice shouting and screaming, and you heard the multitudes in the background screaming, Deutschland über alles. You heard it all. You knew the troop movements. You knew that some of the elder generation around you were concerned with things.
But, of course, didn't they always look down on the kids? Didn't they tell you that your new American record was wrong and the music you wanted to listen to was wrong and your new clothing styles were a little weird and why didn't you wear knickerbockers like the rest of them? They probably wondered about your romance with a girl and the fact that you daydreamed and thought about the new job you would get and about next summer, the vacation from the school and the shop. But you were a kid. You lived in Warsaw in 1938, and you couldn't care less. The older generation were always sitting around plucking at their beards and smoking their pipes and talking about what was wrong in the world. But they'd lived their life. It was time for them to sit back and speculate and worry. You were going to live it up. In 1939, when the bombs began to fall, your time was suddenly taken away from you. You didn't have time now to go to the border, time now to collect your meager possessions together, to write to those relatives in the States, time now to try your very level best to get out of that country while you could. No time now to change your way of life, change your habits, change the places you hung around, the people you saw, the friends you became acquainted with. You didn't have any more time. Now, when you're sitting in that boxcar going across the snow-laden fields to Germany, hearing the clickety-clack of the train wheels on your way to a torture camp, the time has suddenly been taken away from you. You and nearly 20 million others who met the same grisly, ghastly fate you did. In 1939, time was taken away from the world, and suddenly the world found itself in the biggest war in all of history. We are living today, trembling on the brink of the cliff of 1939. And you ought to take a good long look at the Voice of Bavaria and Hesse while you're at it, because things are happening in Germany that would do you a lot of good to pay attention to. But what if you had known ahead of time if you were that Jew in the ghetto in Warsaw in 1938? Would you have changed even your geographical location as quick as you possibly could? If you had known and knew that you knew and had known ahead of time, you bet you would have. Today, all around you are ominous signs. We like to kid ourselves as we listen to the wild jazz and see the blonde flinging her hair on the television set, and that's supposed to sell an automobile. We like to wave out of our minds and daydream ourselves into insanity with all of our noise, with all of our entertainment, with all of our physical pleasures. We like to inhale or poke at ourselves or inject into our bloodstream or to swallow down our seemingly completely gluttonous and unfillable gullets and forget about the rest of the world. We want to forget the population explosion. We want to forget the cries of the millions of the hungry and the starving. We want to forget the cries and the screams of the butchered in China and the violence in the throes of the huge nation of China with one quarter of the population of this whole earth in revolution again today. We want to forget it. We want to forget conditions. We want to forget even the elements are acting strangely. We want to forget the smog and the fog and the crowded conditions and the mental aberrations and the mounting crime. We want to forget it all. We want to live as if we had a million years, as if we were indestructible, as if there is no reason to fear, no doctrine of fright, no reason to worry. Everything is going to be just fine. We kid ourselves. We don't think that's true. We think everything's going to be rotten. We think everything's going to be wretched. We think everything's going to be a mess. We're not convinced there's any good news ahead. So we simply ignore it. We think it will go away. You still have time. You've still got time to think. You can wave your fingers and think about the ability that you have to do that. You can think about the fact that you were born and came into this earth struggling, absolutely naked, knowing nothing. You can think about the fact that everything that is in your mind and your head got there from the time you were born, and maybe some of it is a pack of lies. You can think that maybe you've been bamboozled and hoodwinked about history, that maybe some of what you think about religion is an absolute error, that maybe some of your opinions about Uncle Charlie or the black man are prejudicial and a big pack of venomous hate and bias. You still got time to think about your carnal-minded carping and griping about conditions, but your utter inability to do anything about them. You've still got time to think about your innate selfishness, your greed, and your jealousy. You've got time to look in that mirror and to admit to yourself you're not really a whole person. That you don't know where you're going. You don't know why you're alive. You don't know why you walk the streets and why you drive the automobile, why you earn the wage, why you go home to the wife, why you do what you do. You just don't know. Because you don't know why you're living. But the sad, sad pity is you can know. And all you've got to do is just make one little move to find out. All in the world you've got to do is get rid of your prejudice. You look up to the heavens with a bright, shining night and ask yourself, who put those great stars up there, those great suns, the universes? You ask yourself, who made this vast earth with all the interdependent intricacy of the living creatures and all these living laws that you absolutely cannot explain away? You ask yourself where human intelligence came from and why mankind is on this earth and why it is that step by step every last prophecy of the Bible has been coming to pass. And has been coming to pass as this program has been predicting it for over 30 years. You ask yourself why. Somehow you've come in contact with someone with a work and a voice that is not like anything else you've ever heard. You've come in contact with the work of God. You have come in contact with a warning that is being given people out of the mercy of a great loving creator who wants you to still take the time to change, to select your course, to decide which way you will go. Because world government is coming, I'm telling you that on the authority of Jesus Christ who lives and who is going to institute it. You don't have to vote for it. You can even disbelieve it. I could too. I could come on the air and waste all these millions of watts of power and all of the dollars we spend to broadcast around the world to try to tell you, like others do, that Jesus is dead. But why lie about it? Why not tell you the truth? He's alive, and I can prove it. If you want to write in for these booklets, Does God Exist? And the proof of the Bible, you can prove it. Now, if you want to see that program and that purpose laid out before your eyes, if you're not a spiritual coward, a lot of people are. They like to carp and gripe, and the biggest thing they can come up with out of the empty excuses of man is, who does he think he is? What is he after? What does he stand for? Well, help yourself. Just whatever you'd like. You still have that time. Or you can write in for this booklet on the wonderful world tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, which tells you, as no other piece of literature I can put in your hands does, exactly what I'm talking about. What I stand for, who I am, why I'm alive, why I draw breath, and it's the only reason I stay in smog-bound Los Angeles. I don't know what the rest of these people are doing here, frankly. Because if I was just here to earn a wage for some reason, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in any number of a couple of dozen of places I can think about right quickly with my family. And if I didn't have the hope that I've got, I think I'd be in a sandbagged home with a machine gun on the roof and my family locked up inside and all kinds of keep out, go away signs. But I know better than that because I know there is some good news coming, and I know that regardless as to all the bad news of this world, it's going to soon be converted and changed, and good news will absolutely fill your newspapers. And if you want a foretaste of that, there's a could-be newspaper insert in this booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, that shows you what the world tomorrow will be like. You won't make it that way, neither will I. God will. Christ will. You can still have a part in it if you want to change and begin living differently. It doesn't cost you anything. And I'm not going to nag at you. If you want the most important book that you ever had in your hands, then write for it. It takes that much courage. The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What Will It Be Like? It's absolutely free. Just write for the booklet by the title of this program. No one's going to call any. There's no price, no advertisement. Send your letter to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. The current number of the Plain Truth magazine has this article, How the United States Can End the Vietnam War Now. They're free of charge, no price. The booklet will come to you by return mail. The address again in just a moment. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.